السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Hi, it's Abu Yusuf. He's not able to join. Abu Yusuf is not able to join.
He's online, sir. He's online.
Okay. We can go on, Abi.
Yes, sir.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد, today inshallah, because we are very close to Ramadan, today is the 20 what in Nigeria, today is the 28th day of Sha'ban. Today is the 28th day of Sha'ban, 1442 here in Nigeria, according to the authorities. According to the authorities here in Nigeria, today is the 28th day of Sha'ban. So tomorrow, Monday, inshallah, will be the 29th day of Sha'ban. So if the moon is sighted and the authorities announce that we commence Ramadan, we may commence Ramadan on Tuesday, which will make the first of Ramadan. Today is 28th of Sha'ban. So if the moon is sighted tomorrow, Monday, in the evening, then because the day actually starts from the evening, from Ghurub al-Shams, another day has started. Ghurub al-Shams, the time we make Salatul Maghrib, another day has started. A day that I mean, a day that comprises of a night and daytime. So the night comes before the day. This is the widely accepted view amongst the ulama. The night comes before the day. And one of the evidence for that is what we are seeing now. Once the moon is sighted, Ramadan comes in. A new month is started because a new day is started. So a new day is started at sunset. Once the sun sets, a new day comes in. And that is around when the moon becomes sighted. So a new month starts because a new day starts. So if during the daytime of Monday, because we are actually going to start the daytime of Monday later today, from about 7 p.m. today, the night time of Monday would have started. So by the morning, by this time, Fajr, tomorrow, we are in the daytime of Monday. So by Maghrib tomorrow, we are in the night time of Tuesday, as far as the Sharia is concerned. So the new moon may be announced if the moon is sighted by the authorities in charge. We are coming back to that, inshallah. So the new moon to commence Ramadan will be sighted, that is the Hilal, the crescent. It will be cited and announced to us by the authorities. I say again, by the authorities, not you and I, because we are not the authorities in charge of that. We are coming back to that, inshallah. When we discuss how do we start, how does the Sharia tell us to start Ramadan? So we come back to it. So by the evening of Monday, tomorrow, by 7 p.m., for example, let's say sunset comes at 7 p.m., around 7 p.m., it's usually from 6:45 and above, the sun becomes set here, where this city where I live, from about 6:45, 6:50, there's practical sunset. So Maghrib starts around there. So from then, the authorities will start working on telling us before the next morning whether Ramadan will commence or not, if the moon collecting results of fighting before the time. So they'll be busy with that and we'll be waiting for them to announce to us to commence Ramadan. If the moon is not fighting, then the entirety of Tuesday is going to be the 30th day of Sha'ban. The Tuesday will be the 30th day of Sha'ban, meaning that by the Maghrib time of Tuesday, we would have started the month of Ramadan. By the time of Ghurub al-Shams on Tuesday, Ramadan will definitely have started. So you see, many of us now would have been preparing for this time. Our minds and our attention should necessarily by now be directed towards starting Ramadan and embracing the various virtues, the excellence, the tremendous rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in this blessed month, in this gracious month of Ramadan, in this Shahrun Mubarakun, like the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa salam. Yesterday, when we introduced this class about preparing for Ramadan, I was telling us that one of the biggest blessings in the month of Ramadan is the fact that the Quran was revealed to mankind, was revealed in the month of Ramadan. The Quran came down in the month of Ramadan, and that was clear in the Quran. In about three places in the Quran, Allah mentioned that. The closest and the most read to us is the one we read in Surah Al-Qadr. Inna anzalnahu fi anzalnahu. We have revealed it. We have sent it down fi laylatil qadr. So that occurred, that sending down of the Quran occurred in the month of Ramadan fi laylatil qadr. At laylatil qadr. So the Quran came down from Lahul Mahfuz to Baytul Izzah in the nearest heaven to us. In the month of Ramadan, jumlatan wahidat, it came once as a whole book. The Quran descended as a whole book from Lawh al-Mahfuz. It was brought down to Baytul Izzah, and that's why when you hear have that the Quran was now revealed to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam in 23 years, as he says in Surah al-Isra, wa Quranan faraqnahu لِتَقْرَأَهُ عَلَى النَّاسِ عَلَى مُحْسِنٍ. This is talking about the coming down of the Quran to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the coming down of the Quran has two stages. The first stage of its coming from the Lawh al-Mahfuz up to down to the Baytul Izzah in the first heaven. And then the second coming down of the Quran is what comes down in beads from from Baytul Izzah, from Jibreel to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, in an authentic hadith, makes us understand that Suhfu Ibrahim was also revealed to Ibrahim alayhi salam in the month of Ramadan. And the Suhfu Ibrahim was also revealed to Ibrahim in the month of Ramadan. So the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam told us about the past books too that were revealed in the month of Ramadan. So one of the biggest blessings in the month of Ramadan is that the book of guidance for mankind, hudan linnas, like the Quran says, shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Qur'an, this month of Ramadan, the month in which unzila fihi al-Qur'an, the Quran was sent down. This Quran was sent down for what? Hudan linnas, as a means of guidance for mankind. Wabayyinatin min al-huda wal-furqan, and something that is clear-cut, a criterion for them to distinguish between what is good and what is bad. If you want to know what is good, check the Quran. If you want to know what is bad, the Quran will point to it. This and this and this are bad. If you want to know what is good, the Quran will tell you about them. This and this and this are good. So that's why the major benefit of having the Quran sent down to us is that we employ the Quran. We take to the Quran as a book of guidance. When at the beginning of Al-Baqarah, when it says, Alif Lam Mim. What did he say? ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. You see, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. This Quran is a book. لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. It does not contain doubts at all. Its verses are clear. أُحْكِمَتْ آيَاتُهُ ثُمَّ فُصِّلَتْ مِنْ لَدُنْ حَكِيمٍ خَبِيرٍ. أُحْكِمَتْ آيَاتُهُ. The verses of the Quran are clear. ثُمَّ فُصِّلَتْ. And then they were made, they were explained to us. مِنْ لَدُنْ حَكِيمٍ خَبِيرٍ. In two ways, explained by the Quran itself or explained by the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. That's why the explanations of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sunnah, they take the ruling of the Quran itself because they are from revelations from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Quran is clear. La rayba fihi. There is no doubt regarding it. And then it says, this Quran again, it's what? Udallil muttaqin. Is a means of guidance for those who are consciously fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a major virtue in this month, that the month in which mankind, in which we, our book, that will be a means of guidance for us for the entirety of our lives, was sent down to us in the month of Ramadan. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, also from the virtues of Ramadan, reported a hadith. This hadith has about 9 blessings, one single hadith, containing about 9 virtues of this month of Ramadan. 9 virtues of the month of Ramadan are contained in this single hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. We may quickly ask, we already know that Ramadan is a month of blessings. Why are we talking about it again? By way of reminding ourselves so that we renew our resolve to gaining from the tremendous blessings in this month of Ramadan. You know that you have a thing of virtue. You now go back to it to reorganize your mind. Remind yourself about the virtues and the rewards that are contained in the month of Ramadan. It makes the mind become alive. So the worship in the month will be a worship of iman and ihtisab. Because you already reminded yourself of the virtue. A virtue, a worship of iman, because you'll be so convinced that Allah and believe that Allah has placed virtues in this month and has commanded that the fast be in this month. You'll be reminded of that. So it will enliven your worship. Your salah in Ramadan will be different from your salah outside Ramadan. You want to now do it better. You want to try to do it better. This zeal to get better by the day after day is what reminding ourselves about the virtue and the blessings of Ramadan will do to us. It will reorganize us. It will motivate us. It will reload us, as we say. It will re-energize us. It will give us another focus, even though we have a focus regarding what we like to gain in Ramadan. It will increase our crave. It will motivate good actions from us. It will help us fight against any sort of laziness that may be a drawback against us in this month of Ramadan. May Allah protect us from this evil. Because from the worst of human beings are those to whom Ramadan comes. And then Ramadan goes away, they did not gain forgiveness from Allah. They are from the worst of people. They are losers. In fact, Ibril alayhi salatu salam mentioned that may the dust be rubbed on their noses. May their noses be rubbed in the dust. The Messenger said, Ameen. The noses of those who Ramadan will come and then go, they did not gain forgiveness from Allah. May their noses be rubbed in the dust. That is, may they be disgraced. When again do you want to gain success? When? If not now, when? When do you want to run after success? If we don't run after success in Ramadan, if we don't run after blessings in Ramadan, if we don't run after forgiveness in Ramadan, when do we want to do that? So that's why when Jibril alayhi salam made that dua, also it's from the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. The Messenger said, Ameen to it. And the correct thing is that this hadith is at least hasan in its ruling. So the hadith is a reliable proof. that when Ramadan goes and an individual does not gain from its forgiveness and tremendous blessings, those are from the people of disgrace. So in this hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the asul of the hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim, but the other ziyadat in other books of hadith, like in Sahih Ibn Khuzaymah and in the books of Sunan, like Sunan al-Nasa'i by Imam al-Nasa'i, puts all these reports together is what I'll read to us. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, إِذَا كَانَ أَوَّلُ لَيْلَةٍ مِنْ رَمَضَانِ إِذَا كَانَ أَوَّلُ لَيْلَةٍ مِنْ رَمَضَانِ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَتَاكُمْ رَمَضَانِ شَهْرٌ مُبَارَكٌ أَتَاكُمْ رَمَضَانِ شَهْرٌ مُبَارَكٌ Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, إِذَا كَانَ أَوَّلُ لَيْلَةٍ مِنْ رَمَضَانِ قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. When the night, on the first night of Ramadan. So in our own circumstance, the first night when it will be announced to us that Ramadan has started, what should we say? The Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام would say to the people, أتاكم رمضان. In another report it says, جاءكم رمضان شهر Mubarakun. He would congratulate the companions. It means from the sunnah of welcoming Ramadan is that that very night of Ramadan, we should extend greetings of congratulations to each and every one of us. Atakum Ramadan, Shahrun Mubarakun. The Messenger didn't say Ramadan Kareem. He said Shahrun, it is a month Mubarakun, that is blessed. So Ramadan is Mubarak. What is common people say is Ramadan Kareem. That is the greeting that they say. But the greeting the Messenger would extend alayhi salatu wasalam, has Ramadan mentioned as what? Sha'run Mubarakun. The Prophet would say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Atakum Ramadan Sha'run Mubarakun. When does he begin to say that? From awwalu laylatin in Ramadan. The Prophet began to say that from the very first night of Ramadan. So let us employ this practice to bismillah, either by tomorrow evening or by the evening of the next Tuesday. Let us be sure that we send messages, we call the people to congratulate them about the emergence, the coming of Ramadan, because the Messenger alayhi salatu was salam, إِذَا كَانَ أَوَّلُ لَيْلَةٍ مِنْ رَمَضَانِ, when the night, on the night, the first night in the night of Ramadan, he would say, عَلَيْهِ سَلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ جَاءَكُمْ رَمَضَانِ or أَتَاكُمْ رَمَضَانِ. They mean the same thing. جَاءَكُمْ رَمَضَانِ. Ramadan has come unto you. شَهْرٌ مُبَارَكٌ. A very, very blessed month. A hugely blessed month of Ramadan has come unto you. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, counting the blessings in the month of Ramadan, directing our attention to those blessings. What are the things that makes Ramadan shahrun mubarak? The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, faradallahu alaykum siyamahu. So the first blessing in the month of Ramadan, the Prophet counted, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this hadith, is that faradallahu alaykum siyamahu. Allah in this month makes the fasting in it compulsory on you. Allah has obligated you to fast in this month of Ramadan. Allah has ordained you to fast in this entire month of Ramadan. It says shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Qur'an هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. What did he say after that? فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصمه. This is the obligation of Ramadan. من شهد منكم الشهر. Whoever amongst you becomes fortunate to witness that month. I say becomes fortunate. By this time last year, we know some of the people that we observed Ramadan together. But here we are. They have passed away. We have many of our brothers, we have many of our sisters who have passed away between the last Ramadan and this Ramadan. So the Quran says, whoever becomes alive, whoever is alive, man shahida minkum ash-shahr, whoever witnesses that month, falyasumhu, let him therefore, for witnessing the month, fast in that month of Ramadan. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, faradallahu alaykum siyamahu. This is the first blessing in this hadith. Ataakum Ramadan shahrun mubarakun. Faradallahu alaykum siyamahu. Secondly, he said, suffidat wa suffidat fihi ash-shayateenu maradatul jinn. Says was sufi that she is shayateen. The second blessing in the month of Ramadan, as is contained in this hadith of Abu Huraira, sufi that she is shayateen. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the shayateen, the evil ones amongst the jinn. That's why he gave us a tafsiriyah, maradatul jinn, the wicked ones amongst the jinn. They are the shayateen, sufi that, who will be tied and chained in the month of Ramadan. So let us note this point. The evil shayateen, the afarit, they are tied down, they are chained down in this blessed month of Ramadan. And one of the blessings of that is that you find that evil will reduce in the month of Ramadan. Evil will reduce in the month of Ramadan. Why? Maradatul jinn, the wicked ones amongst the jinn, they have been tied down. And evil may still be seen, because that means there are some others amongst the jinns too who walk around. Perhaps the Muslims amongst them. Perhaps the weak Muslims amongst them. You see them walk around. One of the scholars say, if we interpret that Sufi, that is shayateen, the jinns, the satans will be tied down, to mean all the satans will be tied down. But this is not what this hadith indicates, because it said Sufi, that is shayateen, maradatul jinn, the shayateen will be chained. Who are those who will be chained amongst them? Maradatul jinn, those the wicked ones amongst the jinns. He said, even if you say all the jinns are tied, if you take the riwayat that does not have maradatul jinn, that does not have an indication that the jinns that are tied are the wicked ones amongst them. If you take it that the jinns are generally tied down, it means, the sheikh says, that even the shayateen, Iblis and all of that, they have evils that they have prepared before the month. They will leave it to spread in that month. So even if they are not moving all around to spread the evil, they will allow the evil to spread in the month. They had already prepared an evil that will spread in that month. One of the scholars said, that's why you see some people, they would have made a lot of soap operas, they would have made a lot of films, they would have made a lot of evil actions and all these, that they will release in the month of Ramadan. They would have recorded them, they would have prepared them, and then they release them in the month of Ramadan. But what is correct, and Allah knows best, is that those who are chained down in the month of Ramadan are what? Maradatul jinn, the wicked ones amongst the jinn. They are the ones that are tied down, so that people, more and more people have the more opportunity for goodness in the month of Ramadan. The third virtue the messenger mentioned in this hadith says, وَغُلِّقَتْ أَبْوَابُ النِّيرَانِ. غُلِّقَتْ, look at this, غُلِّقَتْ أَبْوَابُ النِّيرَانِ فَلَمْ تُفْتَحْ مِنْهَا بَابٌ. غُلِّقَتْ أَبْوَابُ النِّيرَانِ, the doors of the fire, غُلِّقَتْ, they will be completely closed, they will be completely locked. غُلِّقَتْ, the doors of An-Niran will be locked. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَلَمْ تُفْتَحْ مِنْهَا بَابٌ, no single from the seven doors of Jahannam, because the Jahannam has seven doors, no one of them will be opened in the month of Ramadan, so that it is a means of goodness. Hold back evil, or hold back whatever, hold back any kind of distastefulness for mankind. So all that is opened unto us is the mercy of Allah and the ability to be upon goodness. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, gulliqat abwaabun niran, the doors of the fire will be locked completely. Falam tuftah minha babun, no door will be opened from it. The fourth one, he said, alayhi salatu wassalam, wa futihat abwabul jinan. Futihat abwabul jinan. Falam yuglak minha babun. Falam yuglak minha babun. Futihat abwabul jinan. Likewise, the doors of Al-Jannah will be made wide open. So mercy of Allah comes unto us, comes unto mankind. Futihat abwabul jinan. Falam yuglak minha babun. So none of its eight doors, because the Jannah is made up of how many doors? Eight. None of the eight doors of Al-Jannah will be closed. That is the fourth blessing in this single hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned about the month of Ramadan. The fifth point of virtue he mentioned alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, Lillahi fihi laylatun. Lillahi fihi laylatun khayrun min alfi shahrin. Allah has a night in this month of Ramadan. Khayrun min alfi shahrin. This night is better than 1,000 months. Of course, we all know that is what Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadri is better than how many months? Khayrun min alfi shahr. That is clearly mentioned in the Quran. Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahr. Meaning that from the blessings of the month of Ramadan, it's what the Messenger said, alayhi salatu wasalam, lillahi fihi laylatun khayrun min alfi shahr. Allah has a night in it that is better than, more virtuous in what it contains than 1,000 months. He said, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا. The Malaika and Jibreel, they will descend in that night. تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا. بِمَذَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ. They will bring a lot of the affairs of the people to the surface of the earth. You bring the affairs of the people to the surface of the earth. This one will gain this one. This one will gain this. This one will have this. This one will have this. This one will be protected from this. This one will be protected from this evil. This one will be protected from this evil. So goodness will reach this one. So goodness will reach this one. They will bring this to the surface of the earth at Laylatul Qadr. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that we all should be engaged in full worship in that month, in that day and night, but in the last 10 days of Ramadan. But in this hadith, he says, Man hurrima khayraha, faqad hurrima. Man hurrima khayraha. Whoever becomes bereft, whoever becomes unfortunate not to gain from the goodness in that night, Laylatul Qadr, faqad hurrima. He has so much been, he has been deprived. Whoever is deprived, man hurrima khayraha, whoever is deprived of the goodness in that night of power, Laylatul Qadr, faqad hurrima. He has really, really been deprived. Whoever is deprived of the goodness in the night of Ramadan, faqad hurrima. May Allah protect us from this evil. Some of the people will be sleeping, eating, and all of these in the night of Laylatul Qadr, the last 10 days of Ramadan, and then they miss this night. May Allah protect us from evil. The sixth thing the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, regarding the month of Ramadan, in this single hadith, it says, wanada munadin. A caller will be calling. Some of the scholars, like Al-Imam Ibn Khuzaymah, he said the caller who would call would be an angel. He would be calling out saying, Ya Bagi al-Khair, Ya Bagi al-Khair, Akbil, O craver, O desirous person of goodness, O person, O you who is desirous of goodness, Akbil, come on. Come on, do goodness, Yarhamukillah. Come on, do goodness. Continue to do good. Oh, people who want goodness, continue your goodness. Come on, Akbil, proceed, advance, continue. Continue with the goodness. Continue with the goodness. The angels will be calling. These are the things that we should have in our mind in this month of Ramadan. So, oh brother, oh sister, oh little teenager and our children, all of us should have it in mind that on every night in the month of Ramadan, that caller goes on to call. You who want to do goodness, continue, continue, continue. And then he goes on to say also, Waya bagi ashari aqsir. Oh, you who want to do evil, reduce your evil, reduce your evil, reduce your evil. We must have this inside our mind. Even though we don't have it heard by our ears, we should know that that call, that invitation continues. And as Muslims, we should set our minds to it, that we are invited to goodness. So no goodness is small. And no goodness is too much. No goodness is small. And no goodness is too much. Everybody should make haste to earn as much good in this month of Ramadan as possible. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yunadi munadin, ya bagi al-khayr akbil, wa ya bagi al-sharri aqsir. All you who want to do goodness, akbil, proceed, advance, continue, multiply your good deeds. So if you'd intended that in this month of Ramadan, bismillah, I'm going to look for 50 people to feed, poor people who can't afford to fast correctly, that is, eat their sahur and iftar. I'm going to provide 50. That's your intention. You can increase it every day by 10. You can increase it every day. Why? There's a caller calling you, do more. Do more. If you have intended to read one juz of Quran every day, you can read five. Five ajza. Why? There's a caller saying, do more, do more, do more. If you want to stay 30 minutes on every rak'ah you want to make in Ramadan, 30 minutes on every rak'ah, start planning to do more, more, more in Ramadan. Ya bagi al-khayr, akbil, O you who is desirous of goodness, proceed, advance with your goodness. And you who is desirous of evil, may Allah protect all of you. The Prophet said, the caller will be saying, aqsir, reduce your evil, Lord. Reduce your evil. The seventh benefit the Prophet mentioned in one single hadith after he told us that Atakum Ramadan, Shahrun Mubarakun. He started to count the barakat of this month. From the barakat of Ramadan is that Walillahi fihi utaqa. Walillahi fihi utaqa minan nar. Walillahi fihi utaqa minan nar. And in every night, fi kulli laylatin, in every night of Ramadan, Allah frees some people from the fire of Jahannam. You would have entered Jahannam. I free you. You could have entered Jahannam. I free you. This will happen on every night in Ramadan, not just on the last 10 days. The last 10 days of Ramadan, you hear the a'imma when they make dua and all of this, when they make kunut, they say that Allah should make us from those who be freed from. That is not restricted to that time. There are clear-cut narrations from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that occurs, he says, وَذَلِكَ فِي كُلِّ لَيْلَةٍ. That the fact that Allah will be freeing some people, you, I free you. You would have entered Jahannam, but I free you. You would have been in Jahannam. I free you. I free you. I free you. So you see people turning 180 degrees. They've been upon evil, look, because that's the implication. You see them turning for goodness. And you see people begin to say that it was in Ramadan, I just thought that I have to stop drinking alcohol. So in Ramadan, I just thought that I have to stop smoking. So in Ramadan, he thought that he has to stop lying. He stops not being responsible at home to his wife because this is part of his sin. Many of the people will be changing their ways. The things they've been doing that could bring them to the Jahannam, you see them declaring that they change in the month of Ramadan when Allah declares them free from the fire of Jahannam. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the fire of Jahannam. So these are seven virtues the Prophet mentioned alayhi salatu wasalam in one single hadith regarding the month of Ramadan. That will make us understand that that month is really truly blessed, like he says, He would say at the beginning of Ramadan, Ataakum Ramadan, Shahrun Mubarakun. Ramadan, the blessed month, the month of blessings, Ataakum, has come unto you. And then he began to pronounce the blessings. In this hadith, we mentioned 7 of these blessings in one single hadith. When there are other benefits of the month of Ramadan. There are other benefits in the month of Ramadan. So as we prepare, we buy food for iftar and sahur, prepare your minds too to gain goodness. Prepare your minds too to be full of full worship in this blessed month of Ramadan. Prepare your mind for a lot of istighfar. Prepare your mind for a lot of adhkar. Prepare your mind for a lot of tilawatul Quran. Prepare your mind for a lot of listening to mawa'iz and durus. Mawa'iz, sermons, admonitions, and durus, and classes that are beneficial upon the sunnah. Because it is still in the month of Ramadan, you see some of the people of innovations also spreading innovation in the name of spreading mawa'iz. They spread evil rather. May Allah protect us from this. So be sure that when you want to listen to sermons, you listen to the sermon of those who are not sick, those who are well. Because if you listen to the sermon of a sick person, your religion will become sick too. May Allah protect us. Look for the people of Sunnah to listen to them. When you hear somebody saying the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Huraira said, radiyallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Umar said, radiyallahu anhu, the Quran says, and Allah says in the Quran, Surah to Kaza, you should know that you have somebody who is well, who is not sick. But when you start hearing, Afa Olorin Sokwe, the man who is singing, the person is a singer, the poet started saying, they started singing, they started shouting, and all of these, you should know that you are listening to the sermon of a person who is sick. If you follow him, your religion too will become sick. And you will not gain anything from Ramadan except what? Sickness. May Allah protect us from this evil. Because we see it happening, is the reason we have to warn against it. Now we quickly move to other things. How do we know how to start Ramadan? Islam taught us, and there are 2 ways to start Ramadan. The first one is what? Through Ru'yatul Hilal. The moon was sighted, and to be told to us by the authorities, the crescent has been started. Start fasting. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, one of the best hadith that you can imagine. Because that hadith was reported by Imam Malik. And it was reported by Imam Malik from his teacher, Nafi. And it was reported from Nafi. Nafi reported it from who? Abdullah ibn Umar. That the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, La tasumu hatta tarawu. La tasumu hatta tarawu al-hilal. Don't start fasting until you sight the moon. So it means, sighting the moon is the way to start fasting. Has the moon been sighted, sarau, ru'ya, until you, my ummah, one of you, two of you, all of you, see the moon. When you see the moon, start fasting. So if you ask us, how do we start Ramadan? We start Ramadan when the moon is seen, when we see the crescent. La tasumu hatta tarawu al-hilal. The Prophet prohibited us from fasting until the moon is sighted. وَلَا تُفْتِرُوا حَتَّى تَرَوْهُ. Likewise, لَا تَفْتِرُوا. Don't stop fasting until you sight the moon also. Don't make iftar. So لَا تُفْتِرُوا. Don't make iftar until you sight the moon. When you sight the moon, make iftar. This hadith is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. So this is the first way to start Ramadan. The second way to start Ramadan, he told us to fa'in gum alaykum, fa'in gubbiya alaykum, fa'in ugmiya alaykum. A lot of alfaz, but all meaning the same thing. If something like the cloudiness comes in between you and sighting the crescent, he says, fa'akmilu li'iddata thalathina yawma. Counts Sha'ban to be what? 30 days. So we're either starting fast by that. Oh, on the 29th, like tomorrow, Monday, moon has been sighted, so let's start fast. Or that the moon will not be sighted and the month will complete 30, so that on Monday, on Tuesday, so that we can start fasting on Wednesday. So fasting either starts on Tuesday if the moon is sighted, or it starts on Wednesday the moon is not sighted, and we have to count Shaban to be 30 days. So two ways to start fasting, either by moon sighting or by counting Shaban to be 30. So these are the ways that the Sharia has told us to fast the month of Ramadan, and those are the evidences for it. And what does fasting itself mean? Fasting is al-imsak min al-fitra, holding back from the things that will break our fast, from tulu al-fajr towards ghurub al-shams. From tulu al-fajr, you hold back from the time when the fajr breaks, al-fajr al-sadiq, the true fajr, the true dawn. When it breaks, you hold back from muftirat. You hold back from the things that break the fast of an individual. What are they? They are six in number. Six things break our fast. When any one of these six happens to an individual, the fast is broken. The first one is what? Taam, eating food. When you eat food, the fast is broken. So you don't eat. Fasting is not to eat. Likewise, not to drink. That is the second thing. Don't eat food, don't drink water, don't drink juice. All that you drink to enjoy, all that you drink to keep yourself, don't drink them. Don't drink water or anything, drinking something. Likewise, eating something, these two things break the fast of an individual. The third one is al-jima, conjugal relations with your spouses. No wife should have a conjugal relation with her husband. No husband should have conjugal relations with the wife. Conjugal relation, I mean actual sexual intercourse. This thing breaks the fast. So three things. What are that three breaks the fast? Al-qay'u amdan. When a person deliberately provokes a vomit. If you deliberately provoke a vomit and you vomit, your fast becomes broken, vitiated. So what will you do? You are going to fast in the coming year. You are going to fast before the coming year, after that Ramadan. When this Ramadan ends, you fast one day to pay back. You are going to make qada. You are going to pay back if you do so. Pay back that day of fast that you have missed as a result of provoking what? Vomit. The other two things that break the fast are nifas and hayd. A woman may be fasting when she's pregnant. Please permit me to say that. A woman may be fasting even though she's pregnant. So when she delivers on the day that she delivers, and nifas emerges, the blood connected to delivery, because that is the meaning of nifas, the blood that emerges from a woman during delivery, shortly before and shortly after. This blood is called, and during, of course, this blood is called nifas. So when she goes into nifas, if she was fasting, the fasting stops, and she stops the fast. So a nifas for a fasting person breaks the fast. Likewise, hayd. So hayd, a woman was fasting from the morning. In the afternoon, she becomes menstruating. She stops the fast. So these are the six things that break the fast. Food, drink, jima, then nifas, hayd, and deliberately provoking a vomit. These are the six things that break the fast. So you hold back from these six things from tulu al-fajr, from the time of the true dawn, ila ghurub al-shams, until the time that the sun sets. You hold back from these things. You hold back from eating. You hold back from drinking. You hold back from having sexual intercourse with your husband or wife. And then you hold back from provoking a vomit. Then you don't do what? Menstruate or become in the state of nifas. These two are not things that you do by yourself. They happen to a woman. They happen to a woman, but she should know that when those things happen, her fast becomes vitiated for that day, and she has to make up for that fast after that month. I hope that this is also clear to us. Because I had mentioned the pregnant woman, let me also mention a woman that is breastfeeding. And unfortunately, in the last few, I think I heard the audio about 2 weeks ago, an audio went round also from one of the learned people. I think that must be said. If you have a different opinion from somebody, it does not mean that the person is not learned. Appreciate his knowledge. The person in the audio is a very learned person, one of our most learned persons in our country. So you cannot deny the fact that the person is knowledgeable. But it is not from the conditions of being knowledgeable that you are correct in every situation in every time. In fact, the scholars say that one of the things by which you know a learned person is that he will err too. The one who does not err is claiming to be other than what he is, because Allah has not created a human being who does not err. So one of our learned elders in our country gave an audio recently about the ruling about a woman who is pregnant and a woman who is breastfeeding. And he was wrong. May Allah protect him and all of us. He was wrong in that ruling. He was wrong in the ruling. And many of the people were not comfortable with the expressions that were employed while affirming the position that he held. He employed expressions that may not have been employed. May Allah forgive all of us and him too. Hafizahullah. He had a view, and that view he gave is the view of Jumhur al-Ulama, the view of many of the scholars too. But it is a weaker view amongst the views. It's a weaker view. He presented it as the only correct view, but that's a wrong view. It is not the only correct view. That view is not the only view amongst the scholars. There are other views regarding it. Any of the books of fiqh. He said, if you read any of the books of fiqh, this is the opinion that you see. Yes, they say that's the opinion of the Jumhur. But they will tell you there are other opinions too. The opinion of the Jumhur, yes. But they will tell you that there are other opinions. If you go to Al-Mughni by Imam Ibn Qudama, it's one of the biggest books of fiqh in the madhab of Al-Imam Ahmad Ibn Hanbal. You see this opinion there. This sheikh we are talking about, he also cited Shaful Mumfit by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. This other opinion we want to mention now that we consider correct and Allah knows best was also mentioning that. But he was mentioning it as if it's a strange opinion that's not known from anywhere, from anybody, and it was imported into Nigeria. Everybody who is a student of knowledge, who has Al-Mughni, has also imported the opinion. It also occurs in Al-Istizkar by Al-Imam ibn Abdul Barr al-Namuri. Al-Istizkar is a big book of Sunnah. By Ibn Abdul Barr. Ibn Abdul Barr, rahimahullah, is a late third century scholar of Islam. And he has that view. And he was ascribing the view to the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in that audio, the Shaykh Hafizahullah was mentioning as if that opinion is strange. It is not a strange opinion. It is the opinion of the companions. And it occurs in the books of fiqh. What is that opinion? The opinion is that a woman who is pregnant or a woman who is breastfeeding, if pregnancy and breastfeeding becomes inconvenient for them in the month of Ramadan, if breastfeeding and the pregnancy becomes a means of discomfort for them so much that it could cause them harm, either to them or to their children in the month of Ramadan, they are allowed to break the fast. They will not fast, and they will feed a fasting person for every day of fast alone without paying back the fast after Ramadan. This view that we hold to be correct, that is the view of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is sufficient. If you say a view is wrong, and we are saying that that view is the view of the companions, should we leave the companions and follow you, no matter how knowledgeable you may be? Cannot follow you, follow the companions. Radiallahu anhum. And that is the way of the early Muslims. So Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, was the first person that was mentioned. And he said, radiallahu anhu, that إِذَا خَافَتِ الْحَامِلُ وَلَا نَفْسِهَا. When a pregnant woman becomes fearful for herself in the month of Ramadan, وَالْمُرْضِعُ عَلَى وَلَدِهَا. And the woman who is breastfeeding, she becomes fearful for her child in the month of Ramadan, that is, the woman who is pregnant begins to fear that fasting the month of Ramadan may cause harm to me. The woman who is breastfeeding begins to fear for her child. Fasting in Ramadan may not make this child to have good food, may not make the child to have sufficient food to eat, sufficient breast milk to survive with in the month of Ramadan. When the woman who is breastfeeding begins to fear this, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, "Yuftiran." The woman who is pregnant and the woman who is breastfeeding, he said, "Yuftiran." The two of them will make iftar, that is, they will stop fasting, or that they will not fast on those days of Ramadan. وَيُطْعِمَانِ. And then they will feed some people. They will feed the to'amu miskin. They will make fidya. It says, فَفِدْيَةٌ to'amu miskin. They will make fidya to to'amu miskin. They will look for poor persons in the month of Ramadan and feed them. They will feed them in the month of Ramadan. Kulla yawmin miskina. It says, وَيُطْعِمَانِ مَكَانَ كُلِّ يَوْمٍ مِسْكِينَ. وَيُطْعِمَانِ مَكَانَ كُلِّ يَوْمٍ مِسْكِينَ. They will feed a poor person in place of every fasting day. He said, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا وَلَا يَقُضِيَانِ صَوْمَا. Abdullah ibn Abbas said, وَلَا يَقُضِيَانِ. They will not make qadha. But the doctor, Hafizahullah, when he made his assertion, he said, Abdullah ibn Abbas did not say that they will not make qada. This is a clear-cut riwayah from Abdullah ibn Abbas when he says, وَلَا يَقْضِيَانِ. They will not make qada, meaning that the woman who is breastfeeding, who fears that the child may not get sufficient milk, or the woman who is pregnant, who fears that the fasting may become a means of a big discomfort for her if she continues to fast. These two people, Yuftira, Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, wa huwa man huwa, radiallahu anhuma. He said, Yuftira, these two groups of people will make iftar. They will not fast on that day. Wa yut'imani makana kulli yawmin miskina. And they will feed a miskin, a poor, needy person, makana kulli yawm, in place of every day in the month of Ramadan. وَلَا يَقْضِيَانِ. Ibn Abbas said, radiallahu anhuma, وَلَا يَقْضِيَانِ سَوْمَا. They will not pay back those days after Ramadan. Also, this is one statement from Abdullah ibn Abbas. Abdullah ibn Abbas had a woman, a slave, who was pregnant for him. You know, it's allowed for a Muslim to have ma malakat yaminu, a woman who he is his slave, and he meets her. She could become pregnant and then have children for him. This woman asked Abdullah ibn Umar when she was pregnant about her condition. And he said, radiyallahu anhuma, anti bimanzilatil kabir. Abdullah ibn Abbas said that a woman who is pregnant, bimanzilatil kabir, la yutiqu siyam, is in the condition, in the position of an elderly person, male or female, who may not be able to fast. Abdullah ibn Abbas said, radiyallahu anhuma, that a woman who is pregnant, bimanzilatil kabir alladhi la yutiqu siyam, is in the status of an elderly person who may not be able to fast. Abdullah ibn Abbas said so to his woman who was pregnant in the month of Ramadan. So he said, radiyallahu anhuma, fa'aftiri. So make iftar, break your fast. Wa at'imi an kulli yawmin, make it'am, feed a fasting person. An kulli yawmin nisfa sa'in min hinta, make nisfu sa'. Nisfu sa'. Sa' is, if you combine your hand four times, that's a full sa'. We discussed this on the issues of Zakatul Fitr. Half of that, meaning two handfuls, two double handfuls. So he's also telling her what she will provide. So Ibn Abbas's fatwa to his household is that a woman who is pregnant, she will make iftar and she will make it'amu miskin. This is the second statement from Abdullah ibn Abbas. There are others. That is why if we go to Al-Istizkar by Al-Imam Ibn Abdul Barr. Ibn Abdul Barr al-Namri is a 3rd century scholar of Islam, one of the biggest people in the madhab of al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah. Al-Imam Abu Umar ibn Abdul Barri, al-Namri, rahimahullah. He says, Rawahu an ibn Abbas. Before that, he says, Qala Ishaq ibn Rahwah. Ishaq ibn Rahwah is the teacher of al-Imam al-Bukhari. He is in the status of the likes of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Ishaq ibn Ibrahim, al-Hanbali ibn Rahwah, rahimahullah. It's in the status of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. He's a big scholar of Sunnah, a big scholar of Hadith and Fiqh. He says, وَالَّذِي أَذْهَبُ إِلَيْهِ فِي الْحَامِلِ. What I view, what I consider appropriate regarding a woman who is pregnant, وَالْمُرْضِعِ, and a woman who is breastfeeding her child, is that, and يُفْتِرَى, these people should not fast. They should break their fast in the month of Ramadan. وَيُطْعِمَى, and they will feed a fasting person the month of Ramadan. Ishaq ibn Ibrahim ibn Rahwah, rahimahullah, he says, وَلَا قَضَاءَ عَلَيْهِمَا. There is no قَضَاءُ عَلَيْهِمَا. So the position of Ishaq ibn Ibrahim, also ibn Rahwah, is that لَا قَضَاءَ عَلَيْهِمَا. They will not make قَضَاء. They will not pay back that fast after Ramadan. اتِّبَاءً لِبْنِ Abbas وَبْنِ Umar, by way of following Ibn Abbas, because the doctor gave a view as if to say that Ibn Abbas is saying that the women who are fasting, the women who are not fasting, who are pregnant and carrying the children, should pay back if they make fidya, or that at least they should pay back after Ramadan because they have the ability. They are like the sick person or the person upon a journey. We read the statement of Ibn Abbas that a woman who is pregnant is like Al-Kabir. So Ibn Abbas makes us understand the view of Abdullah ibn Abbas, and that is better for us. Abdullah ibn Abbas considers a woman who is pregnant or a woman who is carrying a baby to be in the status of a woman or a man who is of old age. That is the fiqh of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, and that is the fatwa of Abdullah ibn Abbas. And when he explained, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكُونَهُ فِدِيَةٌ طَعَامُ مِسْكِينٍ, he also gave, he lined up the elderly male and the elderly female, the woman who is pregnant and the woman who is breastfeeding. He lined up these four together. So the view of Ibn Abbas is not that a woman should make qadha. The woman, the view of Ibn Abbas is that she should make fidya. She should fast. She should not fast in Ramadan. She should make fidya. That is, upon the conditions that we had mentioned, she may break her fast in Ramadan, and then she may feed, and she will feed a fasting person in the month of Ramadan. وَلَا قَضَاءَ عَلَيْهَا. She will not have to pay back that fast after Ramadan. She will not have to pay back that fast after Ramadan. لَا قَضَاءَ عَلَيْهَا. After stating this view of Ishaq ibn Ibrahim ibn Rahwah and ascribing it to Ibn Abbas and Abdullah ibn Umar, Al-Imam ibn Abdul Bari said, رَوَاهُ عَنِ ibn Abbas. رواه عن ابن عباس سعيد بن جبير وعطاء وإكرمة رواه عن ابن عباس. This view has been reported variously from Abdullah ibn Abbas. By who? سعيد بن جبير, one of the biggest students of Abdullah ibn Abbas. وعطاء, الإمام عطاء ابن أبي رباح. He also reported this view from Abdullah ibn Abbas. وإكرمة, الإمام الإكرمة, إكرمة البربري, رحمه الله. He also reported it from Abdullah ibn Abbas. He said, Rahimahullah, bi asani da hisan. And these chains of reports of this view from Ibn Abbas, they are authentic. That's what? Annahuma tuftiran. That a woman who is breastfeeding and a woman who is pregnant, tuftirani wa tut'imani, they will both not fast in the month of Ramadan upon the conditions that we had mentioned. When she fears for, the both of them fear for their children or themselves, tuftiran, they will make iftar, wa tut'iman, but they will feed fasting persons, the two of them. He says, wala qada'a alayhima. There is no making qada'a. To ascribe making qada'a to Ibn Abbas is a strange view. To say that Ibn Abbas didn't mention it because he knew that you will pay back the fact. It is not. The view of Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, is that if a woman is pregnant or that a woman is breastfeeding, she should rather break her fast and feed a fasting person. Wala qada'a alayhima. There is no qada'a upon them. That's also the view of Abdullah ibn Umar. A woman came to Abdullah ibn Umar and asked, radiallahu anhuma, and asked regarding that. Nafi, the teacher of Al-Imam Malik, reported that his kanat bintun li ibn Umar, the daughter of Abdullah ibn Umar, tahta rajulin min Quraysh, who was a wife, the woman from amongst the Quraysh, was asking ibn Umar, wa kanat hamila, that woman was pregnant. So fa asabaha atashun fi Ramadan, she became very thirsty, seriously thirsty in the month of Ramadan. Fa'amaraha ibn Umar. Ibn Umar commanded his own daughter to do what? And to ftira. She should break her fast in the month of Ramadan. Wa tut'ima an kulli yawmin miskina. Then she should feed a poor person. Feed a poor person. Feed a poor person. Don't forget, not just feed somebody. Feed a poor person. That is the meaning of fidya. Allah explained it in the Quran. Fidyatun. It's a fidya, is the provision of food for somebody who is needy, who is poor. Because it is not just about feeding somebody. Let's take note of these women when we want to distribute food for our fidya. Look for somebody who is poor. Look for somebody who is in the position of a needy. So this is the position of Abdullah ibn Abbas and Abdullah ibn Umar. And they were both explaining the verse, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُتِقُونَهُ فِدِيَةٌ طَعَامُ مِسْكِينَ. This position is the Allahu Alam, most correct of the view. Because these two companions, like Al-Imam Ibn Qudama said in Al-Mughni, we do not know any other companion who has a different view. Any other view regarding this matter is from lower than the companions. So the view of the companions, one of our teachers, specifically Sheikh Mashur Hassan Ali Salman, he said this is also the view of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari and Aisha radiallahu anha. I have not seen this asal, but he mentioned it, Hafizahullah, that this view of Ibn Umar and Ibn Abbas is also the view of who? Jabir ibn Abdullah and our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. So I think that suffices for us. The time is far spent, but I think if it is just upon this that we can stop over, it suffices for us. Ramadan is just by the way, by the corner. There will be subsequent programs where the issues of Ramadan will be discussed. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it beneficial to us all, to make us also people who will be successful, who will gain tremendous rewards in the month of Ramadan. I also appeal to us to give us another 10 minutes to take one or two questions regarding the issues that we have raised today. That will be going past the hour as we had it. I am usually conscious of the time. So, but let's spend another 8 minutes. We are 2 minutes ahead of the hour now. We can spend the next 8 minutes to take questions quickly as Allah would permit. Inshallah, in the subsequent classes, we will also discuss other issues regarding the month of Ramadan. May Allah accept it all from us. Abu Yusuf.
This one says, I do not have questions, rather would just want to pray that Allah continue to preserve our ustaz upon goodness. Because regarding the fasting of a pregnant woman has really caused me a lot of discomfort. The audio really put us in a tight situation and can make one afford getting pregnant altogether. Now, the next question says, she was breastfeeding in Ramadan, and yet she couldn't afford to feed miskin. What's on her?
The one who can't afford to feed miskin, if it is really true that you can't afford to feed miskin, then la yukallifullahu nafsan. Allah has not placed upon us a burden except the one that we can bear. The companion in the hadith of Abu Huraira who had an intercourse with his wife, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him to free a slave. The messenger of Allah, free slave? I don't have a slave. So okay, feed 60 people. Fast 60. Yeah, I can't fast 60. Free a slave? I don't have a slave. Okay, feed 60 people. Where will I find the money to feed? I can't feed 60 people. The Prophet remained silent. So he was not able to do it. The Prophet didn't tell him to do something. Rather, he was looking for ways of doing it. So a basket of dates was brought to the Prophet. I gave it to him. Go and distribute it among 60 persons. Say, ha, is there any person in Medina poorer than I am? to the Prophet, okay, you take it, feed yourself with it. So one of the fiqh of this hadith is that when he said he's not able to do it, the Prophet did not command him to do any other thing. He left him. So the one who is not able to fulfill the kafara or the fidya is not just able, practically not able to do so, then there's no blame on him, on her. And don't forget, for married women, their duty is upon their husbands to do on their behalf. So if he's not able to do it, then he's not able to do it. Now, if you know a man and a woman who in their household, the woman should be feeding a fasting person, but they are not able to do it. This hadith of Abu Huraira also shows that you can help them do it. A brother can help a family where there is a pregnant woman or a breastfeeding woman to fulfill these duties of the Sharia. That's clear from that hadith of Abu Huraira. So it also means that if the woman is not able, then there's nothing upon them. In fact, it may be that even that house itself, they will be needing the food. So if you want to help a woman who is breastfeeding or pregnant to pay her fidya, she may be the one to be eating. She loves that. They themselves, or her husband may be the one to be eating from Ta'am al-Miskin, from the fidya of the wife. There are people in this condition. If we don't think that there are people in this condition, then we have not known our own society very well. May Allah make it easy for us. So if you can find a woman who is pregnant or a woman who is breastfeeding, and you know that she may not have what by which she will make fidya, you can provide her. You can provide her. In fact, it may even be that her husband is the one who will be eating that fidya. So, but the one, a woman who doesn't have any ability at all, and she has not found anybody to help her out, then she should just remain. Allah has not burdened anyone beyond the abilities. Allahu Akbar. I hope that is clear.
This one says, what is the implication of the doors of Jahannam being closed and the doors of Jannah being opened in the month of Ramadan? Does that mean that everybody that dies in Ramadan goes to paradise?
It has implications, but not necessarily what you have said at all. Not necessarily connected to what you have said at all. That the gates of Al-Jannah are open means that the mercy of Allah, because when the gates of Al-Jannah are open, nothing comes out of them except mercy and goodness. It's spread everywhere. Fortunately, Al-Jannah is up there above the seven heavens. So it is there. From there, goodness is spread to every nook and cranny of creation. So that's one benefit of it. And that the gates of Jahannam are closed means that various kinds of evil and the anger of Allah, they are locked up. They are locked up. Things of punishment, things of evil, things of sadness, locked up. So we have the opportunity to do a lot of goodness. So, but to say, does it mean that if a person dies in Ramadan, you go to Al-Jannah? No, it does not mean that. It means we have opportunity to race and pursue Al-Jannah. And we have more opportunity to run away from Jahannam. We have more opportunities to race towards Al-Jannah. The door is open. Come on. That's why the Munadi, Yunadi, the caller will be calling, Ya Bagi Al-Khair Akbil. All you who crave goodness, proceed, advance. Because when you advance and advance and advance with good deeds in the month of Ramadan, the gates of Al-Jannah are open to you. And then he says, Ya Bagi Al-Shari Akbil. You who want to do evil, reduce it, reduce it. Why? The gates of the fire you will end if you proceed upon that are already closed. So don't worry yourself. Reduce your evil deeds. Then turn towards Al-Jannah. So these are the kinds of implications of the gates of Jahannam being closed and the gates of Al-Jannah being opened. And Allah knows best.
This one says, if I have not been fasting since morning, but in the afternoon I realize that I have not eaten anything, can I fast?
Yes, you can do so if the fast is not Ramadan. In Ramadan, you must determine by the night, every night, that I want to fast tomorrow. Renew it. Some of the scholars say if you have that intention from the beginning of fast, you may not need to be, you know, clearing your mind to decide that you want to fast. But a better thing for us is that on every night of Ramadan, before you sleep, desire and crave to fast Ramadan on the next day. So you follow the sunnah. We've not mentioned the adab of fasting, like eating sahur, like being hasty, being quick when you make iftar. So one of the adab of fasting is that you intend to fast on the next day. If it is Ramadan, our discussion is on Ramadan. The only place where you may not intend to fast, you are not just eating in the morning, and then you just say, let me just round it up and make it a fast. That is tatawu outside Ramadan. So that is for supererogatory fast. But in Ramadan, you must decide and intend to fast. Fast Ramadan. You must decide and intend to fast the obligatory fast of Ramadan. So I think that is the ruling regarding Ramadan. Allahu Akbar.
This one says, can I give non-Muslim food or drink during the day of Ramadan?
If the person is hungry and is not a Muslim, you can. I don't know anything that prohibits you. Allahu Alam. I don't know anything that prohibits you to provide food for a poor person, needy person, who is a non-Muslim, the month of Ramadan. You can save that anyway for a fasting person. There is no poor Christian you want to provide food, except that you find double the number of Muslims you can provide food. So that's when we eat your food and say that Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Is that the one that you want to give the food? But this one who will take your food, make iftar, and then say Alhamdulillah, is more preferable. So don't provide your food like that. You always have an alternative with a Muslim, the month of Ramadan. So this one can make us say, okay, I will wait till iftar to provide the Muslim my food, the needy Muslim my food. And this is not issue of whether I'm making fidya or not, just by way of helping the poor. Look for the poor Muslim to help. Give your preference to the Muslim. So when you do that, it will make you not begin to prepare food in the afternoon of Ramadan for a non-Muslim. If you prepare food at all, it is for the Muslims who are perhaps not fasting, maybe the sick persons, the elderly persons at home, the woman who is breastfeeding, the woman who is pregnant, or a traveling person. As for myself, when I travel, I don't joke with not fasting. I usually don't fast when I travel. That's why if you invite me to programs in Ramadan, I usually reject. Why? I like not to fast in Ramadan when I am traveling. We'll come back to that when we discuss the issues of traveling and fasting. I prefer the view that not to fast is stronger, is a better thing to do. Not to fast is a better thing to do. Why? Allah likes me to take that ruqsah. So if he likes me to take the ruqsah, why do I reject taking the ruqsah? So I take the ruqsah. So if I'm visiting your house in the month of Ramadan, and I hardly do so, if I'm traveling for something in the month of Ramadan, I like to eat food, and I don't have any apologies regarding that, because I base my actions also upon the deen. That's also from my religion. Anyway, so if I come to your house, don't say you not cook for me in the afternoon of Ramadan. You are respecting Ramadan. Cook the food, I will eat it. So if there are people like this, yes, cook for them. This weak Muslim, traveling Muslim, sick Muslim, pregnant Muslim woman, breastfeeding Muslim woman, elderly Muslim woman, or elderly Muslim man, yes, do so. But for all others, it is better to keep up food. Even children, we should encourage them and reduce the cooking and provision of food for them the month of Ramadan by way of encouraging them gradually to be able to fast. May Allah accept all these needs from us. I think we can stop here, Abba Yusuf. We'll continue with other discussions regarding fasting in subsequent classes. Perhaps this evening, in the evening class, we'll discuss other matters regarding the fasting of Ramadan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.